Woohoo! It's another Outside the Box. And today's topic is, whose land? I see comments on many emails and hear announcements at events, usually called land acknowledgments. Some examples, quote, I live and work on the unceded territory of the Wabanaki, specifically the Penobscot, whom I choose to recognize as the rightful stewards of this land, end quote. Or, quote, I acknowledge that I'm on stolen land, land whose rights were never ceded. I would also like to pay my respects to their elders, past and present, end quote. Or simply, quote, located unceded Wabanaki territory, end quote. Just about any U.S. history book these days that's not whitewashed, pardon the pun, to ignore the presence of indigenous people will acknowledge that native people lived here for thousands of years and that the land they occupied was taken from them without their permission and that European colonists have belittled, oppressed, and exploited native communities for 400 plus years and continue to do so even today. The U.S. government has also maintained a record of close to 100% violations of every treaty or agreement it has made with individual Native communities. States have done little better. The relationship between Wabanaki communities and my home state of Maine is contentious at best. Between attempts at religious conversion and so-called residential or boarding schools trying to, quote, kill the Indian and save the person, end quote, it's a miracle that not all native language and culture was lost. It sickens me every time I think of it. Of course, if white Europeans had had respect for indigenous communities and cultures, our lives would probably be very different and possibly much better now. Had we simply followed the U.S. Constitution and treated Native communities as foreign, sovereign nations within the current boundaries of the United States, all trade and travel would have been in a country interspersed with independent indigenous nations. It could have been a so-called United States, pockmarked by over 500 separate smaller governments, at least one for each tribe, such as Wabanaki Penobscots, Wabanaki Maliseets, Wabanaki Passamaquoddies, etc. There's also sometimes a second acknowledgement read at some events. I heard it at a recent Martin Luther King Jr. breakfast. It recognizes the tremendous contributions of black Africans who, as slaves, provided incalculable amounts of time and energy to the development of the United States while getting essentially nothing in return. It's another small way to apologize for that sordid chapter of U.S. history. And again, the racism and legacy of second-class status that went with slavery has not ended, even today. While most of us today had nothing to do with the theft of land or the displacement of Native people from the places they first occupied, we're benefiting from that theft. Can this be reversed? Native communities are simply seeking sovereignty over their own people and the land they currently hold. But shouldn't they deserve much more? The same reparations that families of former slaves are seeking is one way to pay them back, after the fact, for generations of horrible treatment, attempts at cultural genocide, and theft of land. There are numerous examples of land being given back to Native communities. The U.S. Department of the Interior provided $1.69 billion in 2023 to various native nations to buy back almost 3 million acres of land. In the 2020 Supreme Court decision, McGirt versus Oklahoma, the court declared that much of eastern Oklahoma is technically owned by the Muscogee Nation. Should we speed up this process to right this wrong of individuals and governments in the past who took or stole the land we live on now from those who occupied it originally? What else can we or you do? I'm Larry Danziger, giving the land I live on and the house and garden with it to a Native community near me when we can no longer live there.